The Public News Service Doe Newscast, March the 8th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. From the economy to humanitarian aid, President Joe Biden touched on many topics in the State of the Union address, with attention now back on the presidential race and Wisconsin voter hopes policy, not political drama, is the focus.
President Biden has been scrutinized over such factors as his age and his bid for a second term, with supporters noting his likely opponent, former President Donald Trump, isn't much younger. Diana Valencia, a retiree from Racine, says the horse race coverage often distracts from issues of substance. Valencia, who has voted for both Republicans and Democrats and now supports Biden, says she wants direct talk.
I expect a responsible person in a political position to give me facts and explain to me, as a nation, what are we supposed to do to make things possible.
For example, she wants to hear more about the bipartisan infrastructure law that came together on Biden's watch, noting it's spurring public works projects in her community. Biden has visited states like Wisconsin to tout the law. However, some national polling indicates voters are largely unaware of the policy. I'm Mike Moen.
And Xcel Energy facilities appear to have been involved in an ignition of a giant wildfire that's been blazing across the Texas panhandle since last month. That from NBC News. In a statement, Xcel Energy disputed claims it failed to maintain and operate its infrastructure. However, at the same time, they said, we encourage people who have had property destroyed by or livestock lost in the Smokehouse Creek fire to submit a claim to Xcel through our claims process. And today, well, it happens to be International Women's Day. AARP is highlighting the important role older women will play in next year's election. We get more from our Eric Tiganoff.
The organization recently conducted a survey on the priorities of women voters age 50 and older in the 2024 election. The rising cost of living tops the list for this group, along with concerns about caregiving. Bandana Shrestha is head of AARP Oregon.
Women have varied life experiences. They're not a monolith, but there are certain things that really stand out related to financial security, related to family caregiving. They also feel like their voices are not heard and that they want elected officials to really pay attention to the issues that matter to them most.
Women in this age group are split nearly evenly when it comes to a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential race. However, among women age 50 to 64, 15% are undecided, making this a large group that could swing either way.
People age 50 and older comprised nearly 60% of voters in Oregon's 2022 election, with over half of them being women. This is Public News Service. A first-of-its-kind case in Johnson County could affect the futures of more than 100 people on death row in North Carolina.
It's the Racial Justice Act case of Hassan Bacote. Gretchen Engel with the Center for Death Penalty Litigation says what sets this hearing apart is that it examines patterns and implications of racism in the death penalty for the entire state rather than focusing solely on Bacote's individual case.
This is a case that will allow the court to consider an unprecedented amount of evidence related to the question of whether the death penalty is administered fairly in North Carolina or whether race affect who sits on the jury.
Bacote was sentenced to death in 2007 for his role in a deadly robbery. Engel said last week experts showed how racial disparities in jury selection disproportionately affect Black jurors across the state. Shantia Hudson reporting.
And this is Consumer Protection Week. Nationwide, people's losses to fraud have topped more than $10 billion. That's a 14% increase from just last year.
President of the Better Business Bureau of Ohio, Judy Dollison, says consumer education and awareness of scams is an ongoing challenge. Scammers are constantly changing their tactics and using AI and other technology to bait more people. She adds, scams are increasingly complex and overlapping and often involve emotional and psychological manipulation.
We're seeing a crossover between romance scams and crypto scams because now instead of the romance scammers just asking for money, they're asking their victims to invest in crypto exchanges, which aren't real.
Dollison says 80% of people who've reported losing money to investment scams involving cryptocurrency lost on average more than $3,000. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
And finally, from our Farah Siddiqui, Michigan researchers are examining a possible link between high pollen counts or allergy days and worsening mental health and an increase in suicide risk.
The idea is that allergies act as a stressor that disturbs sleep and causes irritability, contributing to poor judgment and, in some cases, mental health crisis. The study examines emergency department visits and suicides on high pollen days. Dr. Shushan Danagulian, who teaches economics at Wayne State University, says climate change is increasing allergy season length and intensity, which could be contributing to rising mental health issues.
When I have allergies, I tend to be more irritable, more sluggish, and tend not to make good judgment. So I wanted to find out if this affects behaviors more widely.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service. Remember, endless or supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 8th. Local early morning temperatures range from 25 degrees in Steventown to 32 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 40 degrees. It will be mostly sunny today with a high of 53 at 3 p.m. Get outside while you can. 35 degrees overnight takes us into a wet and cool Saturday with a high of 49 at 1 p.m. Rain is expected all day and all night as temperatures fall to 42 degrees. The rain is expected to pick up strength. Could be some flooding Sunday morning. Rain then turns light early on and stays that way all day. High of 47 expected. Monday, we get a high of 42, and we could be waking up to a dusting on the ground. Before looking way up, I'm looking at the calendar, and the eclipse is 1 month away. You already know to get your ISO-certified solar viewers ahead of time, but also, it may be wise to check other things like reservations, if that's your thing, make sure the car is in good running shape. Don't let something simple get in the way. Now, actually looking up, we see X-class flare chances have bumped up to 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 508 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad. Try again later. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 99. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Sina Bazila Hickey. I'm here on March 2nd reporting from the Hands Off Rafa protest in Troy.
You will rise.
Gaza, Gaza, you will rise.
Yemen is by your side.
Yemen is by your side.
Gaza, Gaza, you will rise.
I'm Naomi Jaffe. I'm a member of Troy for Black Lives. We have initiated this rally in support of Gaza and Palestine, and to make the connections between the genocide in Gaza and Palestine and conditions, desperate conditions for our people here at home in Troy and in other black and brown communities, in particular in poor communities. There are 800 of us here today marching in solidarity with Gaza, with Rafah, with Palestine, and with people who are oppressed and under attack here in the United States and in Troy.
We will honor all our martyrs, all our children, sons and daughters. Free Palestine! Free, free Palestine! Free, free, free Palestine!
My name is Tashika Medina, and I'm from Equality for Troy. We need freedom of everything. Oppression is universal. Oppression is really universal, and our American government needs to do better against the world, against our own people. We just need to do better as a society. We need to do better at a national level with the United Nations. And most of all, we need a separation of government where economic factors is decided by the people. We don't need the electoral college to determine how we live, eat, breathe, or how we procreate. So I think we definitely, Palestine has put a lot of things on a broader scope of what we're facing as Americans on an everyday-to-day level, especially as a woman of color in Troy, New York. It's hard. But this is great. this is the start, and I really wish that this can become a national movement against the government. And, you know, not to say, oh, you know, light everything on fire, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we need to stand up for what is morally and economically right, you know. That's the statement.
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of people out here. It's my first time going to a protest. This is after an hour of speeches out in the rain. We've all been out here for... I've been out here for an hour. As you can hear around me, there's a bunch of people out here who are demanding, who are seeing the connections between the empire here and the empire abroad of the United States, and calling for a stop to it everywhere.
So you said it's your first time coming out. What made you feel like you had to come out for this time?
Well, I feel like, along with, you know, a lot of people in the U.S., we've just been watching for a really long time. And it feels hopeless at times to watch people and know that you know, you can't help them in the way that you want to. But I think I needed to, and I think everybody needs to, you know, take the steps that they can, even if they're not what they want, you know? This isn't, you know, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do more than I can right now, but this is what we have. And yeah. Sorry.
Is coming out an outlet for all of the frustration that you're feeling, or are you trying to speak to someone specifically who could make change?
I think it's an exercise in autonomy. For me, it's an exercise of reckoning with the fact that I can't, like, be somewhere, you know? I can't, like, do anything. Like, I, you know, even if you give money, who are you giving it to? The aid's not getting in. I think we all kind of have to hope and just believe that something will come of this, even if it's not just us individually. Even if we can't be there to save people or to help people. And I apologize for using that language, because that's, you know, charged in its own way. But
do you feel comfortable saying your name?
Aspen.
Yeah, my name is Mahab Katani.
Yeah, what's happening is just disturbing, you know, like, we don't know what can we do to help, you know, in this situation. You see people killing, being, you know, destroyed, their homeland is taken. And it's not just only that. Aaron Brusher, when he put himself in fire, I didn't agree with him to kill himself. But what he... Why... Why we let it go like this? You know, like, we should stop it. You know, like, you know, a soul like this, it shouldn't die. He should be here with us, helping us. Raise our voice. Killing is not gonna... It's not gonna help him or help anybody else. We need his voice. We need his work. We need to work in peace to get justice to other people. That's, I don't know if I say it right, but that's my...
So it sounds like, although you don't agree with Aaron Bushnell killing himself, it shows just how important this cause is and what violence can do to people?
Yeah, why he saw this is the solution. It's not the solution. To kill yourself like this, he said, I think he saw a dead end or something that pushed him this way. You know, a soul, like, you know, in the last word, free Palestine, he's in pain. He's inside of him, you know, like, and it shouldn't be, you know, a soldier like this, he should be in our government and helping us. Not to stop what's going on, but not killing himself, ending his life. And it hurt me to see the way he died. I don't know how his mom feeling. I'm sorry for that. I'm my condolences to their family. It's really sad situation that we're going through. So, and there is no justice, you know, what's happening in Palestine or anywhere else. Not just in Palestine, anywhere else, you know, like I'm against anybody occupying other people's country or destroying another country.
So what can people do?
Raise voice. Speak loud. When you're in pain, shout. That's my advice. Say, that's wrong. We should stop that. What can we do to help? That's it. But killing people, hurting themselves, or I didn't agree, but, you know, when I saw the video, it's painful to see something like this happening here. He's 25. He's like my daughter's age. It's really hurt to see a young man who has a future to defend our country here, you know, set himself on fire. I know we are here gathering for the children of Palestine, and yeah, but also Aaron Bershner, it's very important. We need his voice. We need people's voice, not just, you know, like, I don't know. It's very hard to explain sometimes. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Sina Bazila-Hickey reporting for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2007. That was the day 7,000 workers at Northrop Grumman, a shipyard company in Pascagoula, Mississippi, went out on strike. Grumman is one of the largest defense contractors in the world. The workers were members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 733, and the Pascagoula Metal Trades Council. They were still reeling from the ravages of Hurricane Katrina just 2 years earlier. The hurricane had devastated the Mississippi Gulf Coast and sent prices for housing skyrocketing. But while workers suffered, Katrina brought $3 billion in federal contracts to Northrop Grumman to repair hurricane damage. Despite this, Grumman proposed a 4-year contract for the workers with no raises and increased health care costs. For many workers, this did not sit well. They knew the company had received massive government contracts, but still was not willing to treat workers fairly at the bargaining table. The union members rejected the offer and voted to strike. The company came back with a proposal offering small raises, which did not keep pace with the cost of living. The strike was called. For 4 weeks, workers marched and manned the picket line. During the strike, the company cut off the workers' health care coverage. The company then offered slightly higher wages and reduced the increases to health care coverage. Although the proposal was not enough to keep up with the soaring local cost of living, union members voted to end the strike and accept the offer. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. At Reverend Samuel Delavaux Memorial Park in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, teens can practice jump shots under the shade of a new open-air pavilion covered with solar panels. Jennifer Hirado is Chief Resilience Officer for Broward County, which includes Fort Lauderdale. She says the city is hot and getting hotter as the climate warms, so it's important to help protect people from the scorching sun.
So being able to provide a shaded area for play at a site that's so heavily utilized and valued by the community, it really provides an incredible opportunity to make a smart and helpful investment.
And the solar panels will supply clean power to the nearby 60,000 square foot African American Research Library and Cultural Center. She says Broward County is investing in multiple solar installations to help reduce its climate impact.
I think it is really essential that the community see solar investments. And it's important that these projects become visible because we don't really appreciate what we don't see.
So at Delavaux Park, local residents can get an up-close look at a project that's harvesting the energy of the sun while keeping it off their backs. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
State of the Union is strong.
President Joe Biden's State of the Union comes at a crucial time as he seeks re-election. As he did last year, the president stressed a strong economy with full employment and falling inflation. But his agenda this year includes a nearly unheard-of call for higher taxes, in this case on the wealthy and corporations. Biden also stressed safeguarding reproductive rights and in vitro fertilization. The White House revealed plans for a temporary seaport in Gaza to deliver aid and a continued push for Ukraine funding. The administration is also pointing to kitchen table issues, including student debt relief, lower insulin costs, and limits to credit card late fees. 37 House Democrats joined all Republicans in passing the Lake and Riley Act to require detention of any migrant who commits burglary or theft. Georgia Republican Mike Collins says Riley, a nursing student, seems to have been murdered by an immigrant from Venezuela, for which he blames Biden's border policies.
As Joe Biden comes to the Capitol tonight to defend his atrocious record, the House is voting to rebuke him for the open border policies that led directly to Lake and Riley's murder.
The White House argues Biden would have shut down the border if Republicans had agreed to the tough immigration bill negotiated in the Senate, but they killed it because former President Donald Trump wanted to have the border crisis to run on. Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin tells CBS the GOP's lost the ability to compromise.
So when my GOP colleagues say that they really don't want to hear from the president, I take them at their word. They have lost the arts of democratic dialogue.
Centrist Republican and former Maryland governor Larry Hogan says he won't be supporting Trump or Biden, which he says is where most folks are.
Look, I'm like 70% of the rest of the people in America who do not want Joe Biden or Donald Trump to be president, and I'm hoping that there potentially is another alternative.
Republican Oklahoma Labor Commissioner Leslie Osborne is condemning State Senator Tom Woods for calling the LGBTQ community filth. Osborne says her daughter is homosexual.
She and her wife live in Massachusetts because they don't feel welcome here. Don't tell me those bills don't matter. Don't tell me CEOs don't see the huge amount of slanderous and horrifying bills going through our legislature and say, they were on my short list. I'm taking them off.
It's International Women's Day, and a seniors group is highlighting the importance of older women in this year's election. Bandana Shrestha with AARP Oregon says the rising cost of living and the cost and availability of caregiving are top issues for them.
But there are certain things that really stand out related to financial security, related to family caregiving. They also feel like their voices are not heard and that they want elected officials to really pay attention to the issues that matter to them most.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Republican-dominated Iowa House passed regulations March 5th, which would require voters to return mail ballots the day before Election Day. House File 2610 also stops use of ballot drop boxes, bans ranked choice voting, and allows felons to run for federal office. The Iowa Capital Dispatch reports that if the bill becomes law, county election commissioners must send absentee ballots no later than 22 days before Election Day. But it also requires that all mail-in ballots be returned by 5 p.m. the day before Election Day to be counted. For voters who forget or don't allow enough time for the U.S. Postal Service to deliver, ballot drop boxes would no longer be available under HF 2610. Almost 14,000 Iowans used a Dropbox in the 2022 midterm. Falling in line with other red state legislatures, the bill bans use of ranked choice voting in any Iowa election, despite its increasing popularity with voters. And in a provision aimed at protecting former President Donald Trump, the bill also would allow felons to run for federal office. The Iowa Constitution currently bans felons from voting or running for office, though Governor Kim Reynolds restored those rights by executive order in 2020 for felons having completed their sentences. The bill now heads to the Iowa Senate. We have the voter suppression bill's text and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
So I'm Tom Rowe here in Catskill today and talking with John Culpitz or Kid Millions from Oneida, who is coming to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on March 8th with Sky Furrows and Spreaders, which should be a great show. Thank you for joining us today, John.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thank you so much.
So what is going on with Oneida these days?
Well, we just finished and submitted our next album, which is coming out in July. But aside from that, we're just trying to play as much as we can as usual. I mean, this is our 27th year as a band. You were there in the start. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but
yeah. Just so you, did you start in 1997?
Yes.
Oh, so that is exactly the same year that Free 103.9 started.
It makes sense. I mean, because I feel like when we were starting out in and playing shows, like the warehouse shows, I always felt like I wanted something extra, like not just a show. And I always thought of you first. I was like, I really want to have Free 103 like broadcasting this warehouse show as well. So I think that was how we started, though I don't remember how you and I met, but anyway.
I'm sure it was probably just at one of those shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because
totally.
I think I have you on a list of 10 people or groups that like attended more shows there than anyone else. I think TV on the Radio guys were always there.
Mm.
Daniel Carter played more shows than anyone else.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Because he played with everyone.
Absolutely.
And then there were some other people that were always there. But so I'm sure that, so for people listening, Wave Farm, before it was Wave Farm, was called Free 103.9. It was a pirate radio station in Brooklyn and a space in Brooklyn. And we lent out our transmitter to other places because we did that. I remember one of the shows, I tell this story all the time of that show. You had that building, the big giant white building on
yes.
Kent.
Heavy Cultural Authority was, I guess, what we were calling it at the time.
So you guys had some show and we broadcast it from there once.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember because we had to set up the transmitter on the roof. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had to go to Radio Shack in Greenpoint to buy extra RCA cable to run the audio. And then I hooked up this giant RCA chain from the roof down the side of the building and then through the building, because wherever we came in, it was far away from wherever the performance
God, yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like,
did you drill holes?
I don't think we drilled any holes.
Okay.
We went a long way on the outside. And so
yes,
I set up the longest RCA cable that I've ever set up in my life, and then it tested it and it didn't work. And then I had to go through every single cable over and over again and the chain to figure out which one was the bad one. And it turned out it was the ones that I just bought from Radio Shack, which of course was the ones that I tested last because.
Yeah. They're brand new. Right.
But it was like this 2 or 3 hour process of, I tell that story all the time as my audio nightmare.
Yes, totally. I feel like I remember now that you say it, like you running around in those long hallways behind the stage and stuff, like up and down the stairs for sure.
So how has Oneida been able to stay a band together for 27 years? I mean, there aren't too many bands in existence that you can say have been together for 27 years.
I know. I think it's just that we like started having an open creative space where we could just kind of fail together. And it was not a critical space. We always were, the priority was always to make things and be productive. And it just, I think just creating the band with that, I mean, it wasn't like this formal, but like a charter in that way was so proved to be so fruitful for us. And it still drives us. Like we're open. We're just open to what's going to happen when we get in the room together. And it's, yeah, it's really, really proved out. I mean, we're still here and we're still loving it. I mean, the other thing is perhaps it's not like our source of income that can be helpful. Although that, even that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean people won't split up. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, it seems more difficult if you don't have this isn't quite full time, right?
You have
other jobs and so getting out of town to tour is, I would seem much more tough.
It is with kids and everybody except one guy has children and, you know, other priorities, but it's like one of the main priorities in our lives. So of course it's not above family, but it's like above a lot of other things. And so it's just, I don't know. We've just been able to keep it there somehow, with all the, like, all the things trying to knock it off the pedestal, I guess.
Yeah, you had a crazy car accident a few years ago. That was one of the things trying to knock it off the pedestal.
Yeah, I did. I was in California and was on my way to the airport at 4 a.m. and got rear-ended by a drunk. It took me out of commission for 6 months. I wasn't sure I would be able to play again. I was in a lot of pain, but actually, Oneida had a tour booked. We canceled one, but then there was one booked, like, I feel like 5-6 months after the accident, and it just forced me to prepare. I was like, well, I have this commitment, this deadline, and I just have to work to get my body back to do it. I mean, without that, I wonder, honestly. So in a way, yeah, Oneida was there to help my recovery.
And at that point, you also were working on the Man Forever project. You want to tell people what that was?
Yeah, I mean...
Or that is, I guess.
Well, it's evolved. Man Forever is just my... I guess, compositional vehicle, let's say. It's my percussion forward project, I guess. Although it's not always exclusively that. It's like just my solo thing. And it's evolved into just my own name, my last name, Colpitz. It's still me. I think it was easily misunderstood, like name called Man Forever. I mean, I never meant it to be a male thing, but of course it comes off that way, maybe. I mean, but I just felt like, you know what? I feel more comfortable like retiring that name. But yes, it's just like a percussion. It's like anything that I'm, in a way, it's like experimental new music, whatever I put my mind to that's kind of centered around my drumming, I guess.
And how do you think Oneida has changed musically over 27 years?
I mean, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody who felt like our career has like a long arc where we started. I mean, we were always like, experimental. It was always rock too, you know. In terms of, we started like maybe building from a song foundation, and we've always been making songs. We're not like the most extreme experimental band, but like I think in the last few years we've like returned to songs. We had a number of years that we were just playing abstract, like truly abstract, like arrhythmic, you know, expressive improvisation. It wasn't like a period of the band that really was particularly popular. But we didn't actually, and we didn't like consciously try to bring it back, bring it home to songs, but we have recently, our last record is very song centered, and the record that we finished that's coming out later this year is also that way. So
what is that called, and what label is that on?
Well, it's coming out on Joyful Noise. I don't think I can announce the title. You know, I think they want to save that.
There's still some state secrets.
Yeah, exactly. But it's coming out in the summer. Yeah.
And at Avalon, we maybe hear a little of it?
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely play songs that are on the record for sure.
Are you playing the abstract things too, or the early things too, or a little of everything, or what is this tour like?
Yeah, so we're going to play, we always play certain tunes from our earliest days. I wonder if they were songs we were playing when Free 103 was setting up. we still touch on stuff from the record Each One Teach One, which came out in 2002, and then Anthem of the Moon, which came out in 2001. We still play the song Sheets of Easter, which is kind of a emblematic or of us to some people. It's like a one note, like long, epic kind of rocker. And but yeah, I think it's going to be mainly new material, but we always play some classics for sure. Abstract, we get into it always makes an appearance, but it's just not like as dominant, let's say.
And you've been playing a couple of these shows with some with Skyfur as a band, people around here now.
Absolutely. Great band. And we're really thrilled. I think they really wanted us to do a show at the Avalon. So this was their impulse. And this is those folks organized this. And so we're really excited to play there. It's our first time.
And we have a live web stream from all Avalon shows, and we're actually gonna, as long as everyone agrees, we're gonna have you guys on the FM station 90.7 that night.
Cool!
So you'll have a larger audience than just in the room.
Oh, cool! Sounds awesome. Love it.
All right, we've been speaking with John Culpitz or Kid Millions from Oneida. Anything else you want to tell people about the show Friday, March 8th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill?
Well, it's going to be our first time there. We're going to be, premiering a lot of new tunes, and we'd really love to see y'all.
All right, thank you for joining us today. Next, we hear from the band Low. This is the song Days Like These from their 2021 album, Hey What?
When you think you've seen everything, if I were living in days like these, and say you only take what you bring, maybe that's just the way they speak. Know that I would do anything. Is it something that I can't see? Everybody just chased by dreams. That's why we're living in days like these again. Something you can choose between. It isn't coming in twos. Always looking for that one thing. Oh, you want it so desperately. You know you're never gonna feel complete. No, you're never gonna be released. Mary never even why we're living in days like these again. Again.
That was Cabaret Voltaire with Low Cool on the radio at WGXC.
The enzymes and fun is free. The lines will be long because hell's designed by Walt Disney. Your magic kingdom comes.
One day, Hadida Naharam was wandering around the countryside swinging his axe, looking for likely trees to cut down. Picked it up and ate it. He leaned down to hand her another fig. That instant, she sprang up and seized his arm with tremendous force, so that he fell headfirst out of the tree. While he was still dazed, she trusted him and slid him into a sack, which she tied up and slung over her shoulder as though it had no weight. Then she began to walk, taking powerful long strides. By this time, Khalid and Haram knew he had